we read the scripture Amen. For today. It is coming from Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses number 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. The theme, as it was printed on our program, chosen to be noticed for God's glory. Amen?
Mm.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Reading from the NIV, beginning with verse number 14, these words are recorded. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word that has been written and recorded for our edification and building up. We thank you that your word is alive and that it is active. We thank you that, God, when we lay ourselves before you, that your word exposes the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. God, we're thankful that the unfolding of your word gives light to the simple. And God, you give us wisdom by which to live by. And so we pray now that as we unfold your word, that you will speak, God, to our hearts by your spirit. Lord God, you would move us, challenge us. God, that you would bring us to the place to understand that you have chosen us. Yes, you have chosen us. God, that, Lord, we might be noticed for your glory. So help us, Father, to keep you as the center of attention. That you might get glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. You may be seated. As a topic for this message today, I want to talk about courage to live for God's glory.
All right.
Amen. Courage to live for God's glory. These words written in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 are words that were spoken by Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't speak these words to everybody, but these are words that were spoken to men and women who had made a decision to follow him. That he had called them aside and he had began to teach them about who they are, about what his expectations of them are, and to remind them that because he will be with them, that they can do the very thing that he said they can do.
You're right.
He was helping them to understand that they had a new identity because of him. That when you and I are in Christ Jesus, we become new creations.
Yes.
That means the old stuff fades away.
Yes.
Behold, new things have come. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus was helping them to understand that it does not matter who you were.
That's right.
Before you came to me.
Yeah.
Because when you come to me, I make all things new.
Yeah.
Jesus was telling them that I'm the one who can take the broken pieces and put them back together.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And because of who he is, when he puts them back together again, it's not going to look like what it used to look like. It's going to look better than it was before.
Right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen.
So he was giving them insight and wisdom to help them walk with a new mindset. And brothers and sisters, I am so thankful that the word that Jesus spoke to his followers then, he speaks to you and me now. That he is saying to us on this morning, don't you let who you were stop you from being who I called you to be.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Don't you let your don't you let what other folks say about you stop you from being who I declare that you are. And if you listen to them, you're listening to a lie. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So if you listen to me, I'm going to give you what your true identity is, and you can walk in it and fulfill your purposes for which you were designed. Amen. And so he has gathered these disciples around him, and he makes this bold statement to them. He says, you are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Can't you imagine them disciples saying, who, me? Because on another occasion, Jesus declared that he was the light of the world. In fact, he said, while I am with you, I am the light of the world. And so he's given us some insight that when he leaves, he's not leaving the world without light. Because he says, I'm going to leave some folks who will burn brightly for my glory.
Yeah.
He's saying that it is us, those who have decided that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, and that Jesus is the light, that those who have decided that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the spotless Lamb, that only Jesus in his blood can wash away my sin, that only Jesus, because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection can make me new. Those who have decided that I want to go with him.
Amen.
Says, I've got a message for you, that you then will be the light of the world. And I love in this text where Jesus, he gives a couple of illustrations about light being produced and how it's used. He talks about, you don't what? He says, you don't take a light, set it on a city, on a hill, and it be hidden. Right? And so he said, if I got a light and it's sitting up on a hill, everybody's going to see it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And then he also says, you don't take a light, light a lamp, and then put it under a bowl. He's saying that the light is used to dispel darkness and to help others see so that they can go the right way. He said it'll be a shame to light a lamp and then cover the lamp up. That it won't do what it was designed to do. Amen?
Amen.
He says, you put the lamp on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house.
Amen.
So he's helping us understand that you and I, if we are the light of the world, he said, first of all, stop hiding.
Amen.
Stop being undercover lights.
Amen.
Stop waiting till Sunday to identify with Jesus. You need to identify with Jesus every day of the week, moment by moment, hour by hour. Amen. Minute by minute. Everywhere you go, you need to be identifying with Jesus. Say, you better come out of the closet. Come from under the cover and let your light shine. He did not fire you up and set you on fire for you to be covered up. Amen.
Amen.
So he says, come out. You are to be on display for his glory. Then he says that you then are to let your light shine, not just at home. But wait a minute, I didn't say not just at home, which means that your light better be shining at home. Amen. Because you know, if your light ain't shining at home, but you're trying to shine a light somewhere else, that's actually called hypocrisy. Amen. That's called you being fake. All right, that's called, when you get to church, you can be nice and speak to everybody else, but when you at home, you ain't got nothing to say to me. No, let your light shine even at home. Amen.
Amen.
Where it matters most. Amen.
Amen.
And then he says, wherever you go, then you ought to let your light shine so that people can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So in our next few more moments, we just want to talk about the courage to live our lives for the glory of God. Because it takes courage in the world in which we are living in. You know what courage is, right? Courage is the ability to stand up against pressure, the ability to stand up in the face of danger, the ability to stand up even when you're scared and do what is right and to do what you know that you have been called to do. It, courage is you walking in the face of fire because you have received a command from your commander in chief saying, go and let your light shine. Courage says that it does not matter who does not like it, I will still let it shine.
Yes.
I will still declare truth. I will still walk in righteousness. I will still walk in boldness because he has commanded me to let my light shine.
Yes.
So we're talking about the courage then to live lives that glorify God. Yes. Which means that what I do, I'm not doing so that men will praise me. What I'm doing, I'm not doing so that people will talk about, oh, look at him. What I'm doing so that it is pointing back to the Father. That means that I've got to be in the regular habit of giving God credit for everything good in my life.
Yes.
Amen. I've got to learn how to be able to offer praise and thanksgiving and redirect whatever compliment I receive back to the Father.
Amen.
I've got to learn how not to take credit for what God is doing.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Because it is he who gets the glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I want to talk about, real quickly, three different types of lights that we are accustomed to because it's going to help us think about this concept of light shining brightly. Now, you're familiar with candles, right? Candles, we all have them. Many of us have them in our homes. Candles, when a fire is set to the wick, produces light. Amen? So then what it is, we have a candle, and within that candle, we have an element then that can be used to produce light. That element that we're talking about is a wick. That wick is designed such that when fire then connects with that wick, that it ignites and then it burns slowly so that light is provided to those in the room. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But we're also familiar with those incandescent light bulbs. You remember those old light bulbs before they came in with these new model light bulbs, right? That old incandescent light bulb, that 60 watt bulb that you know you used to go and you would purchase that 60 watt bulb so that you could put it in your socket so that it could produce light. It didn't have a wick, did it? No. That, because it normally operates on electrical power, actually has a filament within the bulb that produces heat and light so that it then shines brightly. So now you have a candle with a wick that is one thing that is producing light. Now you have an incandescent light bulb that has a filament within it that is made of metal and other types of particles that when a voltage is connected, a current goes through it, light is going to be produced as that filament heats up. Different kind of items, but what are they producing? Light. Amen?
Amen.
And then, you know, for a long time, we had those fluorescent light bulbs.
Yeah.
Amen? Fluorescent light bulbs didn't have wicks and they don't have filaments. Instead, fluorescent light bulbs have what is called a gas. They got a mercury vapor gas that when that thing is heated up by the charge, it then produces light. And so each one of these, though they are producing light, they have different materials or elements within them that when the source, the power source, is ignited to it, they do what they were designed
right.
to do.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Now that's important, because what you and I need to know is that when your light shines, you might be using something different than what he gave me.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because he gave each one of us a different set of gifts. He gave each one of us a different makeup, so that whatever he has given to us, we will use it to his glory to let our light shine. Amen. And our job is, first of all, to know that he is the source that ignites our light.
Yes.
That's our job. First, to know that he is the source that ignites our life. But then to also know that he has given us different gifts, different skills, different things that he will use so that we can do our good deeds before people so that he can be glorified.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So then, not only do I have to know my source, that means I also need to start knowing what my gift is.
That's it.
Amen?
Right.
Some of y'all got the gift of gab. You know what gab is, don't you? You talk all the time. Even when you don't have anything. Even when there is no one listening. You still talking because you got the gift of gab. And some people have tried to tell you, well, you stop talking so much.
Yes.
But what you need to know is that is the way that God made you and designed.
All right.
He designed you with the capacity to have many words and the desire to want to use those words in every setting in which you get it. There are some of you who never have a dull moment because God has given you so many words, and you've got to learn how to expand my fire. Yeah. Shut up in your bone. The moment it gets silent, you get fidgety. Because you're not used to quiet. But what I want to tell you, that it is okay that you love to talk. You are a blessing to the kingdom of God, because there are others of us who don't like to talk as much. Amen? But you are a blessing to the kingdom of God, because that is the way he made you. And what you and I have to learn to do is to operate within the parameters of how he made us, and to use those gifts to bring glory to him.
Yes.
Watch this now. If you've got the gift of gab and you like to talk and you want to talk about everything, now you've got to go through the process of allowing your mind to be renewed, so that when you open up your mouth, now you are adding value to those around you. Now you are declaring truth when you talk, and you don't allow yourself to get caught up in every conversation now, because you have come as a representative of the kingdom of God, and you want to bring truth to every situation. And so now you're going to use your gift of gab, your ability to talk about any and everything. Now you're going to use it to point every situation back to God. When you start doing that, all of a sudden, they know you for more than just being a talker. They be like, every time she opened up her mouth, she got words of wisdom. You're going to be like E.F. Hutt. You're going to start talking, and all of a sudden, it's gonna get quiet because folk wanna hear what you got to say.
Yeah.
Amen. Because the Spirit of God has ignited you and set you afire and given you something to say.
Amen.
Amen. And so you and I have got to learn how then to take our gifts, whatever they may be. Learn how to take those natural bents that God has designed and put in us, whatever they may be, and learn how to use them and direct them to the glory of God.
Yes.
To say that this is how God made me. I'm no longer trying to change how God made me, but now I'm trying to learn how to take what God made and use it to his glory.
All right.
I want to bring it under his hands, because I understand that he is the potter and I am the clay. And he is able to shape me and mold me any way that he wants to. I'm no longer trying to be like such and such and so, because that ain't who I am. No. I have been fearfully fearfully and wonderfully made. But God is pleased with what he has put inside of me and what he has done with me. And so now I want to show God that I'm thankful for how you made me. And so now, God, I'm going to learn how to live out who I am to your glory. Amen?
Amen.
Because we've all got material inside of us, skill sets inside of us that were given to us by God to be used for his glory. Amen? You and I then need to learn how to do that. Interesting thing about when you're doing something for somebody else's glory, your name recognition no longer becomes important. That even when they forget to say thank you for what you did, that ain't the issue anymore.
You're right.
Because it is not your name that you want them to remember. You want them to remember the name of the one whom you came in, right? I come in the name of Jesus Christ. That, I want to be talking about Jesus so much that you're going to mess around and think my name was Jesus. Amen. Because that's how you remember. I don't know who that person was. Was it Jesus? I don't know who that was. But all I remember is they talked about Jesus consistently. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we want to get, because it is not to our glory, but it is to his glory that becomes important. So we move from a place of trying to have our names recognized to making sure that it is his name that is recognized. But we see this being played out in the construction arena. Amen. You have a builder of a home. You have different people that are participating in that building process. You have some folks who have prepared the groundworks for that home. They prepared it for the foundation to be laid. When their work is finished, you have somebody else who comes in and they do the actual foundation work. They do the plumbing work. They do all of that. You have different craftsmen that come in and do their roles in the building process. You have carpenters who will come in and do their work, the finished work. And each one of them comes in. They have a role, but nobody ever knows their name. When you go and you look at the finished product, you don't see an area where the carpenter is getting credit for the building. This becomes a home or a building that has been built by such and so builder. And the only one that gets the recognition is the builder himself, the contractor himself. All of those who contributed to it, they get no credit. They get paid, but they don't get credit. They get paid, but they don't get recognition. Because they did their work on behalf of the builder to bring glory to the builder, to carry out what the architect laid out. That's their job, to make sure that the builder gets glory. You see it. You see it all the time with vehicles. Can I use a vehicle? When you think about your favorite vehicle, whether it's a Rolls Royce or whether it is a Bentley. Or whether it's a Ford Escape. Amen. You have many people who have come together to assemble that vehicle. There are many people who have worked on the floor to bring the different individual parts together. There are those who work on the body. There are those who work on the interior. There are those who work on the engine. There are those who work on just different parts. They even brought the paint and got everything put together. But when it's all said and done, what you see on the seal of that car, whether it is a Ford Escape, whether it is a Bentley, whether it is a Rolls Royce, what you see is the name of the manufacturer,
yes, sir.
Not the name of the laborers that work together to put it together. Amen? Why? Because they have understood that they have not come there to do their jobs, to get their names praised and glorified. They've come there to do a job so that that particular manufacturer could have his brand out there on the market. And when everybody would see that vehicle shining through off the floor, rolling down, that they would look at that thing and say, my. Look at the craftsmanship on that.
Yes, sir.
And the only thing that they know is the name of the manufacturer. They don't know who the engineer was who designed it. They don't know who the people were that worked on the floor. All they know is that's a tight Rose.
Yes.
That's a tight Genesis. That thing right there make you look twice. Because they have worked together to bring glory to the manufacturer.
That's right.
And so you and I, when we have our different gifts that God is using to fulfill his purpose, means that we're no longer worried about whether or not we are recognized in what we do. We're no longer worried about being singled out because of what we do. All we're worried about is the finished product, and that in the end, it is to God's glory that it achieves.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So it helps us to walk in humility and know that this thing is no longer about me. It's all about God.
Yes.
He says that you and I then are to bring our individual gifts, make them work together to the glory of God.
Yes.
Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. So then, this is important, that you are identifying with the manufacturer. That when you do your good works, that you do them in the name of God. That you do them in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, I got to make sure that we are more specific. I can't just do them in the name of God. I got to do them in the name of Jesus Christ. Because right now, everybody has a God. And when you just start talking about God generically, they may get confused. And they may think you're talking about their God. And you're not talking about their God. You're talking about your God. You're talking about the one who gave his life for you. You're talking about the one who loved you so much that he left his place and glory to come that you might have a right to the tree of life. You're talking about the one who loved you out of darkness and brought you into light. So you want to make sure that folk ain't confused about what God you're talking about. You want them to know you're talking about the true and living God. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The one who is a part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so you have to be clear that you are doing your works in the name of Jesus. So when they ask you why you did a particular thing, it's because Jesus told me to.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And don't you know that sometimes Jesus told me to does not mean that I heard a voice this morning that told me to go do a certain thing. No, sometimes Jesus told me to means that I read it in his word and he said, this is what I am to do. Jesus told me to love you even when you're not lovable. And I don't need his voice to come to me at that moment to tell me to love you when you're not lovable. He's already told me. Love you when you're not lovable.
That's right.
Jesus told me to forgive you when you offend me.
Yes.
And I don't need to wait for him saying, should I forgive this person? No. He has already told you. Do not allow unforgiveness to take up residence in your heart because it produces bitterness.
Yes.
You need to learn how to forgive and forgive quickly. Because if you allow anger to hang around, anger will posture itself at your door, and it will cause you to do some stuff that you didn't think you would do because it's always looking for an opportunity to have an outburst. That's why you forgive And you forgive quickly because you are not going to allow anything to move in and stop you from glorifying God. See, he has already said, don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down. Oh, yeah. Another way of saying, he said, now, you ain't got to be angry forever.
That's right.
Amen.
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 I used to always ask that to my children. They would be upset. They would get mad, you know, about something. And I would give them a little while to be frustrated and angry with one another. And then I want to know who made the rule on how long you got to be angry. I want to know. I mean, you've expressed that you were frustrated. You've expressed that you were upset. We've acknowledged it. Now, how much longer are you going to walk around with your lips dragging the floor? How much longer are you going to walk around treating everybody with a cold shoulder? Amen. Lay that stuff down, because if you allow anger to linger too long, you know what happened the first time a brother got mad? You remember that?
Yeah.
Ended up murdering his brother because he was angry and would not do what God said to him. But God has given us instructions, and you and I need to learn how to do what God said do, so that our lights will shine in every situation.
Yes, sir.
Doing exactly what God told me to do.
Yes.
Carrying out his will so that he is glorified, because it's no longer about me, it's about him. I was trying to get away from that, but I can't. I was trying to get away from the fact that it's really not about us, it's about him. Because sometimes you and I get caught up in how we feel. As Sister Manita says, we become intoxicated on our feelings. Moved by them, driven by them, under the influence of our feelings. And when you are caught up in your feelings, now, wait a minute, that's now all about you. Yes, you have to deal with you and your feelings in a realistic way, but don't be driven by your feelings. Remember that your feelings are nothing more than indicators to help you understand that something has changed in your environment that you need to respond to. And when you recognize that there is something that has happened in your environment that you need to respond to, what you need to do is respond and stop feeling. Amen? Amen. And if you can get out of your feelings, then no longer is the focus on you. Now you get out of your feelings, and now you start to understand, what is it that God wants me to see? What is it that God wants me to hear? What is it that God wants me to do in response to what I just felt? If something made me angry, does he want me to change the condition? It made me angry. Am I angry because it was against God's justice? Because it was against God's righteousness? Well, he may want me to step in and have the courage to do something about it.
All right.
And so, it's not going to do me any good. It's not going to do the other individual any good if all I'm doing is being angry, but I'm never acting upon that thing that made me angry.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, get out of your feelings so that you can get off of you. It's not about you. It's about you and I bringing glory and honor unto God. It's about us laying down our lives daily. Said, here I am again, Lord. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. For that is my only reasonable act of worship and service. It's about you and I daily saying, I no longer live, but I have been crucified with Christ. The life that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that he then can be honored. Not for me, but for him. And I say daily because you cannot do that. You don't bring God yesterday's sacrifice for today. Amen. If you want your light to shine brighter, don't be coming bringing yesterday's fire. You want fresh burning today, which means that on today you must identify and say to him, here I am, that it's not about me, it's about you. And so I lay myself down and I open myself and I say that if you can use anything, God, you can use me. Here's my hand, here are my feet. You can use me.
Yes.
Give me the courage, God, to live the kind of life that glorifies you. Give me the courage to live the kind of life that identifies with Jesus Christ, that I won't be an undercover agent, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will proclaim it with a loud voice. I will use it and show others that I have been saved and redeemed, and what he did for me, he will also do it for you. Use me. Use me, God. Give me the courage to live for your glory, to do that which is righteous, to do that which is holy, even when everybody around me is doing something different. Give me the courage to clean up my speech so that I don't sound like a sailor when I'm talking.
Amen.
Give me the courage to change my taste buds.
All right.
So that I don't eat and drink what everybody else eat and drink.
Amen.
Give me the courage to say no to some things that I know have no association with your kingdom. Give me the courage to walk away from those things so that I can live for your glory. So that my light can shine brightly. So when they ask me, how come you wasn't there? I have the boldness to say, yeah, I wasn't over there worshiping God. Well, I need to be over there. And when I try to tell you about worshiping God, you put your hand, I'm talking about talk to the hand, because you ain't listening. So you already told me you don't need me there. And plus, I'm weak. If I get in that environment,
all right, say it.
That old stuff that I thought was dead is going to wake up. Them old taste buds that I thought were gone going to be made alive. And I'm going to be tempted to do what you're doing, and suddenly my light won't shine.
All right.
So I stayed away because I'm trying to honor God with my life.
Yes.
I stayed away because I want my testimony to be real and true.
Yes.
I stayed away because God deserves my best.
Yes.
Because he gave me his best.
Yes. Yes.
God, give me the courage to live a life that glorifies you. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
There was a movie several years ago that was, I really enjoyed the movie. I think I watched it more than once. It was the first, an action movie. It was the first of that series that they started to release. It was about a guy whose daughter had gone overseas, taking a trip with one of her other friends. While she was overseas, she got kidnapped. And when the kidnappers broke into the place where she was staying, she called her dad. She had her dad on the phone and was saying, something is going on. Something is happening right now. Her dad had to kind of calm down, describe everything that she was seeing. And then he told her, now I need you to hide under the bed because they're coming to get you. Mm-hmm. So he had the girl hide underneath the bed. That didn't work. They still got her. When he realized that she had been captured, he left his place in the United States and went over to where she was, trying to find his baby girl. This particular movie, and many of you that watched it have already recognized what it was, right? You identified because you're like, yeah, that was it. It was moving from start to finish. But in the movie, this guy, he has recorded the conversation that he was having with his daughter before she was being taken. He went back and he played it, somehow got in touch with the folks who had kidnapped her. And when he got in touch with them, this is what he said to them. He says, "I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money." This is the line right here. "But what I do have are a very particular set of skills." You remember that?
Yeah.
"What I do have are a very particular set of skills." He said, "Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you." He said, "If you let my daughter go now, that will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you." That's what he said. That actor, of course, was Brian Mills. That was the role. It was played by a guy by the name of Liam Neeson. A line that became extremely familiar and popular among people. "I got a set of skills." Amen. I got a particular set of skills. And if you watch that movie, the movie played out with his skills being on display, where he was able to go back and rescue his daughter. And along the way, he left all kinds of devastation and destruction trying to rescue that girl. Brothers and sisters, that was a movie. That was a powerful line. But it's one I think that you and I need to employ. Because God has called you to have the courage for you to live a life that brings glory and honor to Him. And you can't do that when you are being weak. You can't do that when you are being afraid. You can't be that as a coward. You've got to have courage to step up in the face of injustice. You've got to have courage to step up when the enemy of your soul is pressing up against you. You've got to have the kind of courage that helps you walk in the authority that God gave you so that your life can be on display for God.
Yes.
When the devil is messing with your kids, you've got to have that kind of line at your disposal.
Yeah.
When he's meddling in your marriage, you gotta have that kind of line at your disposal. When he's coming into your community trying to disturb your peace and your unity, you gotta have this kind of line at your disposal. You and I have gotta have the kind of courage that helps us display the light of God, that drives out the darkness that is trying to penetrate our lives.
Yeah.
That takes courage. Right. Amen?
Amen?
So you need to have a line like this. The devil comes messing with you. You need to say, "I know who you are. And I know what you want. You have come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have been called."
Yeah.
redeemed,
come on,
chosen,
yes,
and given a particular set of skills,
yes,
and weapons.
Yeah.
Weapons that have divine power, yes, to demolish, yes, strongholds.
Yeah.
Arguments. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And by the power of the Holy Spirit,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
I will take captive every thought,
yes,
and make it obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
And therefore, yeah, I will confront you,
yeah,
in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And by the authority that he has given me.
Yeah.
I will beat you down.
Yeah.
I will overcome you.
Yeah.
And I will be victorious,
yeah,
because I am more than a conqueror, yeah, in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
When you get that kind of mind, when the devil shows up meddling in your affairs, you're going to live such a life that shines brightly, yeah, that he's going to,
yeah,
back up and say, yeah, who can I go mess with this?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You and I have got to get to the place where that becomes our declaration.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because we are going to let our lights shine.
Yeah.
We are going to be courageous enough to live lives that bring glory and honor to God, so that what God has done in us will be manifest to the world, because we've been called to be his witnesses. We've been called to be on display for his kingdom. We've been called to set captives free. We've been called to break the strongholds. We've been called to say no curse here, because Jesus paid it all. We've been called to walk in it. And that takes courage, that takes boldness, and that takes you standing in the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You've got a particular set of skills and weapons,
yes,
that will demolish,
yes,
the strongholds.
Yes.
That means there is nothing that can come against you.
Yes.
There is no weapon that has been formed,
yes,
against you that will be able to prosper. There is nothing that can stand up against the power of your God. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, you've got the power.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You've got the power. Why? Because the Spirit of God will stand up like a standard and dispel the one who is trying to snuff you out.
Amen.
Glory to God. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.